Oh, we also have a card for Brother Bill to go around. Brother Bill is had his first round of chemo yesterday. He's got lymphatic cancer in his spine and the ribs there. And the prospects, based on past history of people with this type of cancer, the prospects look very well for Bill. So he's still in the hospital, and we'll send this card around for him, and I'll take it up there. Me and Lori will take it up there today. So continue to pray for Bill, if you would. Continue to pray for Bill's family. If you would, please, this morning, open your Bibles to Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Excuse me. Acts chapter 17, verse 23. Paul's in Athens. He's met with some contentious people. Some people heard. Some people said they'd hear again of this matter. But in Acts chapter 17, verse 22, then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said to ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found the altar with this inscription to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him I declare unto you. Him I declare unto you. In Congress on July 4th of 1776, a unanimous declaration of the 13 states of the United States of America is a declaration. And I'm going to read just the first paragraph here, verbatim. When the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and the nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to their opinions of mankind requires, in other words, they've taken it all in and they've prayed to God, they've prayed for wisdom, and in their opinion, it was the right thing to do, requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to separation. This is the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and that they are endowed by the Creator with certain unalienable rights. These unalienable rights means they're not given by any. I can't give you an unalienable right. It's a God-given right. No one can take it away. No one can give it. No one can transfer it to anybody else. That among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. To declare is to make known formally, officially, or explicitly. To make clear. To state emphatically. And the Declaration of Independence was a declaration declaring emphatically, to make very clear to King George that they were separating from England, the United States of America. In this era of political correctness, if we state something emphatically or to make something clear, a lot of times it may get us thrown in jail, unfortunately, today. Today there are no absolutes, it seems. Everything's in flux. The general consensus is that the Constitution is a living, breathing document and it changes with time. The general consensus today is that the Word of God is living and breathing, and this changes with cultures, with time, with peoples, with traditions and religious sensitivities. But that ain't so. The Constitution was written in 1770, a couple years later. And it means the same thing as it did then as it does today. The Word of God is written over a period of 2,000 years, 4,000 years. And it means the same today as it did then. God is the author and finisher of faith. God is an unchanging God. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God's Word does not change. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words, Jesus says, they shall never pass away. Further on in the Declaration of Independence, and for the support of this declaration with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. And as these founding fathers, our founding fathers pledged their lives, fortunes, and sacred honor in support of the Declaration of Independence from England, we see Paul in Acts chapter 17 again. He's taking a chance. He's living on the edge. But he's got boldness. He's got courage. And without hesitation, unabashedly, courageously, and unashamed, Paul says, "For the unknown God whom ye worship, him I declare unto you." Why would Paul say such a thing? Because in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, he says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel." And because he's not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, he had no problem emphatically making very clear the gospel of Jesus Christ and the God that made the heavens and the earth, the God that rules and reigns today, the God that loved us enough to send his Son Jesus Christ to die for our sins. Paul had no problem because he was not ashamed. I hope this morning that we might be encouraged, that we might not be afraid to declare those things that the Word of God declares without hesitation, unabashedly, courageously, and unashamed. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we ask you, Lord, to please be with us this morning. We ask you to please help us, Lord, to be more bold, not in an offensive way of ourselves, but to be bold with compassion for those around us, Lord, who know not Christ as Savior. To be bold enough to obey you no matter what it might look like or we look like to those around us. But to do what you'd have us to do, Lord, out of obedience and out of love toward you. We thank you for allowing us to have this time. I pray if there's someone here who does not know you as Savior, that maybe today they might come to know you. In other words, realize they're a sinner in desperate need of a Savior and cry out unto you and ask you to forgive them of their sins. For those of us who are saved, Lord, I pray that you give us an extra dose of courage, an extra dose of boldness, an extra dose of humility and gratefulness, Lord, that we can proclaim your word to those around us. We ask these things and we praise your holy name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Take our Bibles. We'll go to Psalm chapter 97. While we're going to Psalm chapter 97, we're talking about declaration to make very clear, to emphatically state. In Psalm 19, verse 1, we're going in Psalm 97, though. I'm not there yet either. Psalm 97. In Psalm chapter 19, verse 1, the Bible says, "The heavens declare. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork." The heavens declare the glory of God. The week before last, we, the teenagers and some of us in the church, we took the group, the witness singing group, from Heartland Bible Baptist College. We went to the Gates of the Mountains. And you know, how many have been to the Gates of the Mountains tour with the boat and that? And it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. It's nice. It's relaxing. And it's nice to take people there. But, of course, you listen. One's a teacher of mine from junior high. He grew up next to my granddad there in Charlotte. But he's one of the announcers there on behind the microphone. And you hear the spiel, you know, 200 million years ago or 300 million. And so you have to get by that. And these caves are X number of million years old. And this is a different folding ground that X number of millions of years old. And then they talk about the professor who discovered the moss on the rocks by the writings down there. But you know what the beautiful thing is? Is that the professor may have discovered the moss. Lewis and Clark may have discovered the gates of the mountains and seen those cliffs. But I know who made them. I know who manufactured with the spoken word. I know that God created the heavens and the earth. And all of the gates of the mountains declare the glory of God. Declare how mighty He is. Declare how itty bitty small and infinitesimal we are. The power of God. And so we're talking about declaration and to declare this morning. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Here in Psalm chapter 97, verse 6, the heavens declare His righteousness. Not only did the heavens declare the glory of God, but the heavens declare His righteousness. How in the world can the heavens declare His righteousness? I've not looked in the heavens and heard His righteousness. But we see in verse 1 of 97, it says, the Lord reigneth. The Lord reigneth. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of the isles be glad thereof. That is a statement. That is not a question. The Lord reigns on high. He is sovereign. The Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Lord Jesus Christ answers to no one, no scientist, no government, no believer, no non-believer. God reigneth on high. Let the multitude of the isles be glad thereof. Why? Because God is not only creator, but He's sustainer, and by Him, all things consist, the book of Colossians. If Christ was not holding things together, this thing would explode. Life as we know it would not exist. And we can thank God and praise God every day that He's still reigning on high. And by Him, all things consist, including me and my Captain Crunch with Crunch Berries. All things can, and I can praise God. Except the older you get, they hurt the roof of your mouth. Have you noticed that? When you're young, you could just gobble them, but didn't matter. But now, after eating, you the top of your mouth sort of chewed up. Verse 2, clouds and darkness are round about Him. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of His throne. Here it is, verse 3, a fire goeth before Him and burneth up His enemies round about. This fire shall be revealed in heaven, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8, in flaming fire taking vengeance on those that know not God. And a lot of us may think, oh, goody, goody gumdrops. Boy, they're going to get theirs. It's not goody, goody gumdrops. It should cause us to pause. Because there are a lot of people we know. There are a lot of people we work with. There are a lot of people we rub shoulders with who know not Christ and the vengeance of God. Now, that does not mean that God is unjust. God is absolutely just. God is all truth. But those people will be judged and punished forever and ever. Verse 4 of 97 here. Verse 4. His lightnings enlightened the world. The earth saw and trembled. On Mount Sinai, when they looked up, there was lightning and thunderings and voices from the top of Mount Sinai, and the people trembled. And they asked Moses to deliver them. He says, for we cannot even look because they were so fearful of the sovereign God. In Revelation chapter 11, it says, and the temple of God was opened in heaven. There was seen in the temple of the ark of His testament, there were lightnings and voices and thunderings, and earthquake and great hail. The heavens declare the Lord's righteousness. He's going to right all the wrongs. He's the Prince of Peace. And He's going to ultimately bring justice to this universe. And all the people shall see His glory. The heavens declare the glory of God. The heavens declare His righteousness. We're in Psalm 97. Let's go to Psalm chapter 38. We saw what the heavens declare. What can I declare? Psalm 38. This is a psalm of David. Psalm 38. David says in verse 18, for I will declare mine iniquity. For I will declare mine iniquity and I will be sorry for my sin. Imagine that happening today in this world, in this country. Someone stand up on a public square who's maybe famous or well known and says, hey, I'm full of iniquity. I am a sinner. And I am sorry for my sin. It wouldn't fly. They'd probably send him to the psych ward. Because a lot of this society more and more is getting where there is no sin. There's nothing, nobody does anything wrong. It's what you think in your own mind, and it's very malleable. It's like jello. Righteousness is just like jello. You can't nail it to a wall because what's right for you may not be right for me, and don't judge me. But we have a standard, and that standard is the Word of God. That standard is Jesus Christ. And compared to Jesus Christ, I can unabashedly, unashamedly make very clear, I am full of iniquity compared to Jesus Christ. He's our standard. And I am sorry for my sin. We should be every day, every waking moment, sorry for our sin. And yet God still puts up with us. God's still so patient with us. God's so merciful toward us. I will declare mine iniquity. Psalm 66, verse 16, come and hear all ye that fear God, and I would declare what He hath done for my soul. Let's go to Psalm 66 so we can see it. Psalm 66, verse 16. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what He hath done for my soul. What has He done for my soul? He's redeemed my soul from the pit of hell. We're redeemed from sin. We're rescued from loss by Jesus Christ. We're rescued from loss. We're redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. What else has He done for my soul? He sanctified us. Hebrews chapter 10 reads, by the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. Once for all, we're sanctified, we're set apart. Remember, before we were lost, we walked through life, we contemplated, what's our purpose in life? Where am I? What am I even here for? We get saved and we have a purpose. It is to serve Jesus Christ, and we're sanctified, we're forever set apart for His special purpose. We're set apart from sin. We're set apart from this world. He sanctified my soul and set it forever for eternal life. What has He done for my soul? He's not only sanctified me. He's not only redeemed me, but justification. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. How many people are looking for peace this morning? How many people are all in a dither, all in a lather, because they can't find peace? And they'll never find peace until they find Jesus Christ, until they acknowledge Him as Savior, the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings. He's adopted us into His family. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption. We belong to Jesus Christ. Not only adoption and justification, sanctification, redemption, but regeneration. And this is a word. This is a verbiage that really, when you listen to even the Christian radio, you don't hear this word very often. And it's regeneration. Regeneration. In other words, being born again. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Jesus Christ said in John chapter 3 to Nicodemus, you must be born again to see the kingdom of God. And that's what Jesus has done for my soul. He's given me all these things. We sing this, excuse me, even little kids sing, I've got peace like a river. How many know that? Peace like a river in my soul. And then he said, I've got love like an ocean, I've got love like an ocean. I've got love like an ocean in my soul. I've got joy like a fountain, I've got joy like a fountain. I've got joy like a fountain in my soul. He's given us a reason to sing. He's given us peace and joy and love. He's given us everything the world's looking for. I cannot help but declare, Jesus is my Savior and King. And I will declare what He hath done for my soul. When we were kids, there are certain things we did that just would grate at each other. Did you ever do something to your brother and you just knew that just... And one of our things was when you sign your name, Charlie the Great, Pat the Great, Russell the Great with capital letters. Hey, you can't do that. That's not fair. Hey, no changes. So we were always trying to outgrate each other. What does it mean to be great? In this world, what it means to be great and powerful is to have, once again, that mean look. You hold the door open for somebody, you try to be nice, and they walk through, and this happened just the other day. Maybe you're thinking, well, I was just trying to be nice. Walk through and glare and look down at me. Of course, that's not hard to do. But that's not what great is. Great has a whole different meaning than what the world thinks what great is. We've seen, I will declare my iniquity. I will declare what He's done for my soul. And I will declare His greatness. You know, compared to Jesus Christ, none of us are very great. I would declare Thy greatness. Psalm 145, verse 6. We can turn there. We'll look at it. Psalm 145, verse 6. Verse 5 reads, I will speak of the glorious honor of Thy majesty and of Thy wondrous works, and men shall speak of the might of Thy terrible acts, and I will declare Thy greatness. There's no one greater than Jesus Christ. We can look far and wide, high and low, for all our lives, and no one even touches Jesus Christ. I will declare His greatness because of His creation, like we mentioned before. Greater is the Lord and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable, Psalm 145, verse 3. Now look at verse 5, 145, verse 3. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. I will declare His greatness, not only because of His creation, but His compassion. Look at Psalm 145 once again, verse 8. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great mercy. And of great mercy, rather. Verse 9, the Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. A lot of times people praise people for being great because they can beat up somebody bigger than them, because they can throw a football farther than, and I like football, throw a football farther than, got a greater hitting average, a greater completion average. All these things we think are great. But nothing compares to the compassion and the mercies that God bestows upon us every single day. And we don't even thank Him for it a lot of times. We just take Him for granted. And guess what He does? The next day He withholds that compassion. Boy, He shows, no. Our God is of great compassion and of great mercies. And He affords us compassion every single day. He loves us like no one else. And He's a great creator, and He's a great compassion giver. And I will declare His greatness. John chapter 8 reads, then Jesus said, Jesus, to those Jews which believed on Him, if ye continue in My word, then ye are My disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So not only will I declare His greatness, but I will declare My independence. I am free from sin. This morning, because of Jesus Christ, I am free from sin. I am independent from sin. Being made free from sin, Romans chapter 16, you became servants of righteousness. I'm not only free from sin, but I'm free from the law of sin and death. Way back to Genesis 3, Adam, if he ate of the fruit, God said, on that day that you eat of the fruit of the tree, thou shalt surely die. And throughout the Old Testament, it's reiterated over and again. The soul that sinneth shall die, be separated from God forever. But God loved me enough, He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, who died for me. And I will declare My independence from the law of sin and death because I've trusted Jesus Christ as My Savior, and now I live. I'm free from death because of Jesus Christ. Is there any reason in the world why we would not declare Jesus Christ? One reason. Let's see. Well, I get scared. People might laugh at me. I don't have time. That's a good one. Too busy. That's another one. Well, they'll get saved in time. I'll just keep praying for them. Well, somebody else will tell them. Well, that's what the church is for. There's no reason not to declare Jesus Christ, not to make clear what He's done for our soul, not to make clear how great He is and how compassionate He is and how we are now independent. We're free. We're free from condemnation. And you know what else I like? I declare My independence. I'm free from this corruptible body. I did a funeral last Monday. And the guy on the phone, I says, well, did your father know Christ as Savior? Oh, yes, Pastor, he says, I'm going to make your life easy. His whole family is saved. And it did make my life easy. I was with my cousin Sarah over in Sheraton, a couple months, 4 or 5 months ago, and they asked me, well, being a pastor now, what's the hardest thing being a pastor? You know what the hardest thing being a pastor is? Is doing a funeral when you know somebody did not trust Christ as Savior. It's hard. Because you're looking at people who need comfort. And you don't want to tell them, hey, they're not in heaven. But you still got to tell the truth. And there's a line there. There's a balance there. I don't ever lie. I don't say, hey, so-and-so's in heaven. I tell them what the Lord has done for us, for society. And I pray for comfort, and I tell them to go to God. But it's a hard thing. I certainly don't tell them their loved ones in a place called hell at the funeral. That's not right either. But I'm free. I'm independent from this corruptible body. Because this body is going to go in the ground if the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't come before then. And this body is going to rot and decay. But God's going to give me a new body. A new and glorified body just like His. A new and glorified body that won't hurt. A new and glorified body that won't ache. A new and glorified body that can't sin. A new and glorified body that can't get chewed up by Captain Crunch on the roof of its mouth. I'll have a perfect new body given by Jesus Christ. And I declare today my independence from this corruptible body. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. He's made us free from this corruptible body. He's made us free from sin. He's made us free from death. He's made us free from condemnation. And I will declare my freedom this morning. I will declare my iniquity. I will declare what He has done for my soul. I will declare His greatness. And in Psalm 75, verse 9, David says, I will declare forever, and I will sing praises unto the God of Jacob. We have not a reason not to declare all the things that God has done for us. We're going to have an invitation this morning. Declare once again means to make known formally, officially or explicitly, to make clear or state emphatically. The Declaration of Independence, July 4th, 1776, declared independence from England. And what followed was a revolutionary war. Patriots of all ages, of both sexes, of different ethnicities, worked and toiled and fought and died and for independence. And just like we said, we've declared our independence from sin and death in this mortal body. But it's because Jesus suffered and toiled and died on the cross. We did absolutely nothing. It's all because of Jesus Christ and His finished work on the cross. So here's the question for us this morning. Is there a reason we cannot declare what Jesus has done for us? If we can think of a reason, maybe we should come this morning and ask God to deal with us. Because there certainly should not be a reason why we cannot declare what He's done for us. Ask the Lord to give us a sense of appreciation this morning and a heart of courage to declare the gospel. That's the only reason we're here this morning as believers in Jesus Christ, is to declare the gospel of Jesus Christ. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what He hath done for my soul. When was the last time we said that to our neighbors? Come ye. Guess what? I'm going to declare to you everything that God has done for my soul. And we'll do that forever. Let's stand. Page 342 this morning. We can thank God for this great country that we can preach and teach in and learn. 342. God is good. He never ceases to be good. And we don't deserve it. God has compassion. If you're here this morning and you don't know that heaven is your home, you can know. The Bible says we can know we have eternal life. And how can we know we have eternal life? We trust what the Bible says. And the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says that God will forgive us of our sin if we trust Him. For by grace you saved or delivered from your sin. For by grace you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. How do we trust Jesus Christ? By faith. We know in our heart we're a sinner. We know there's nothing we can do, but we know that He paid for our sin on the cross. He paid our debt, and then we go to Him. And we believe the Bible, and the Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If that's you this morning, come talk to someone, come talk to me. There's some tracts on the back, explain it. And trust Jesus Christ. For those of us who know we're going to go to heaven when we die, we've trusted Christ Jesus as Savior. Oh my goodness, let's tell and never be abashed. Tell everyone what the Lord has done for my soul. You know, if we really told someone what the Lord's done for my soul, it'd take a long time. Pack your lunch. So we'll close in prayer. Brother Jeff, would you close us in prayer, please? Amen. Thank you so much.